want to talk to you tonight out of the book of Nehemiah, and I'm going to get there in a minute. But first, I want to tell you that you are significant, that you're important to the body of Christ, that you have a specific role. You know, you saw that screen go up with Paul and Becky about our Next Steps program. That Next Steps program is designed and made and thought out to plug you in to ministry within the body of Christ here and really to get involved because you have a purpose. You're not to sit on the sidelines. You're not to come to service and just be a spectator. You are meant to be the hands and the feet of the body of Christ, the hands and feet of Jesus himself. And I want to read something to you, and this is through our Bible readings and through study. I came across this story in the book of Nehemiah. My dad shared a small portion of it a few weeks ago, and it stuck to me. And Nehemiah, I believe it's 12 chapters, and I've read through it a few times, and it continually speaks to me. And I just want to pluck this out of it before I jump in here. It says this in Nehemiah 6:16, when our enemies and the surrounding nations heard about it, they were frightened. They were humiliated, and they realized this work had been done with the help of our God. They realized that God had done something tremendous in and through those people. And I want to just tell you that God has really been stirring in this in my spirit, that God is going to do something significant, not only in my life, but in your lives and in the ministry here at City Church and St. Anthony's. We've just seen a glimpse, and I know you know, you're used to some hype preaching and you've heard it because you've been around church and you're the studied ones because you're here on a Thursday night. But I really believe with all my heart, the word of the Lord is tonight that God is going to do a tremendous work in and through you, and not only through you, but the ministries here. But we have to be careful to do what Nehemiah made reference to here. He said they realized this work had been done with the help of our God. And I want to pray tonight as we enter in. Lord, we just say thank you tonight. We give you all the praise tonight. Lord, we give you all the attention tonight. Everything good that happens, everything, every way you manifest yourself in this place, we say we give you the glory and praise tonight. Be lifted high. Speak to our hearts. Father, even give me a word tonight that is not even on my notes, not even thought out, but all of a sudden you quicken my spirit and that you'd use my eyes, you'd use my lips, my ears for your glory tonight, that you'd speak to us from the throne room of heaven, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, would you say amen? Nehemiah is this ordinary guy. He's not a warrior. He's not a king. He's not a business guy. He's the cupbearer for the king of Persia, a servant, a servant. Think of that. I think in today's day and age, you sometimes we think that you have to be significant to do significant things. And quite the contrary in this scripture, Nehemiah is just a normal guy. He's going about his day. He's like you. He's like me. He's going through the motions, but the Holy Spirit, God himself, is quickening something in his heart and in his spirit. And he's speaking to him, and Nehemiah's brother comes to him. And if you read the story, and I hope that you do, his brother comes to him and he begins to explain to Nehemiah what's happening in his home country. He begins to tell him how the Babylonian army came in and they ransacked this kingdom, and his brother begins to tell him about this, and he gets a passion, he gets a stirring in his heart to do something about it. And I believe that's for every person in this room, that's how you find your purpose. There's people that I talk to day in and day out, every single day. Ryan, I don't know what I'm meant for. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. I just feel lost. I don't know who I am. Could you please help me to find out who I am? And I answer every person the same way I'm going to answer you tonight. And if you don't hear another thing tonight, I hope you hear what I'm about to say. If you have have that emptiness in your heart and you say, what is life all about? If you feel that emptiness in your heart that you say, I don't know what I'm here for. I don't know what my purpose is. Here's my answer and here's what the Word of God says. It says this, to find a need and fill it. To find a hurt and heal it. And this is what's happening in the heart of Nehemiah. This hurt comes to him. This need comes to him. This passion begins to burn inside of him. And I just want to pluck a couple things. I'm going to give you four points tonight, but I want to pluck a couple things out of this. I want to tell you, number one, that the first thing that Nehemiah does when he begins to feel this in his heart and his spirit, and it's the same thing you and I should do every time we feel this tug on our heart. And I pray with all my heart that you'd hear this tonight. All the young people in the room, all the middle-aged people, even the people who are older in age, God has a plan and a purpose for you. You'll feel that tugging on your heart and on your spirit. There's two things you need to do before you act on it. Here's the two things. Nehemiah begins to pray. You're a little early on me there, Paulie, but it's okay. Don't pay attention to the screen right now. Nehemiah begins to pray. And let me just say this to you. Through the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah prays 12 times. I read through it. He prays 12 specific prayers. This is the first prayer he prays. He goes to God and he says, I feel this thing burning inside of me. I feel this passion. I feel this desire inside of me. Give me direction. That's the first thing you need to do when you find a hurt, when you find a need and you go to fill it and you have this passion inside of me. There's two things you need to do before you do it. The first thing is pray. Here's the second thing he does. He's a cupbearer for the king. The second thing he does is he asks for advice from the king. You read the scripture yourself. Don't take it from me. He asked for advice. I see so many people day in and day out. There are people in this room that are experienced people. I look around. You got the chief of police in the room. If you feel a pulling on your heart, a pulling on your spirit towards the law enforcement, go see someone. Go get some advice. You got a lifelong union member here. You got all this experience. John Andre, a friend of mine, a furnace guy. Before you get a furnace put in, go talk to John Andre. Why go out on a limb to do something without using the resources that are right in the house? And Nehemiah does. He feels this tug on his spirit. He feels this drawing on his spirit like so many of us have. And if you haven't felt that, if you haven't felt that drawing on your spirit, here's how you find it. And I'm just, my notes, I told Aaron I got to do a better job. I just start flinging. But if you can't find a need, if you say, Ryan, I've never had that tug on my heart. I felt the Holy Spirit just stop me and say, there are people in this room, you've never felt the tug on your heart from the Holy Spirit. Here's how you do it. Let me just give you a little testimony from myself, from those of you that don't know. I didn't start by preaching. I didn't start preaching. You know what I started doing? I started setting chairs up. I started shoveling the sidewalks. I started washing the toilet at the YWCA. What's the address over there? North Street in Batavia. Can't remember the address. North Street in Batavia. You'd find me on a Sunday morning with Lysol and a toilet bowl cleaner. I found a need. My dad found the need, if you want to know the truth. Some of you need a dad to find a need for you. Found a need and begin to fill it. I'm setting up chairs. I'm cleaning toilet bowls. See, God won't leave you in something you're not called to, but he wants you to start somewhere doing something. Nehemiah's a servant. He's just serving a guy. He's just doing a deal. He's just going through the You've had jobs where you're just going through the motions, running a vacuum cleaner. You might be cleaning the toilet bowl, and all of a sudden, God shows up on the scene in the form of his brother, and his brother says, do you know what's happening over here in our home country? And he asked the Lord. He asked the Lord. He goes, God, is this a you thing or is this a chicken wing thing? Is this a youth? Are you speaking to me or am I nuts? And God begins to speak clearly to Nehemiah. He doesn't leave him in the place where he started. He doesn't leave him being the cupbearer. He starts him as a cup because God wants to know if you'll be faithful in the little. Because then he'll make you ruler over much. Nehemiah is a nobody. He's insignificant. And all of a sudden, God begins to speak to him. God begins to pull on his heart and pull on his spirit just because he had a willing heart. And if you're too big to start in the little role, you're way too big for the big role. If you read through the New Testament, the teachings of Paul about what it takes to be God's leader, it's humility. Humility says, dude, I'll clean the toilet. I don't care what I do. I'm in the bathroom, and I'm not tooting a horn tonight. I'm just talking to you. I want to encourage you. I'm in the bathroom on Sunday. The light's out in the bathroom back here. And I said, oh, dear Jesus, I gotta get a light in there. I gotta get a light bulb in there. And I'm not a change a light bulb kind of guy. I don't know how to take the fixture off the top of it. I have to ask Ben how to do it. But I got up on the ladder, I started taking the fixture off, and that little nut fell into the urinal. And I said, dear Jesus, now I gotta touch this thing. But the minute you get too big for the insignificant, you're too big for the significant. Are you hearing me tonight, or am I just talking? His brother calls him up, Nehemiah. God gives him his purpose. Gosh, this is powerful. He's doing the insignificant, and all of a sudden he finds his purpose. Back to my personal testimony, clean toilets. Mop the floor, shovel the sidewalk. I still get stuck shoveling the sidewalks here and there, Elder Chuck. I don't know what's up with that. I'm just kidding. Then they asked me to run the sound. I used to run the sound every Sunday. And then this guy, Jeff Tosher, shows up and kicks me off the soundboard. I didn't even know what I was going to do. I was half heartbroken when they said Jeff was going to run the sound. You know what I ended up doing? 3-4 weeks later, the worship leader didn't show up. He just didn't show up. My dad said to me, we're having service in 20 minutes. You got to go out there. You know that song, Shout to the Lord? Just go out there and sing that, would you? I said, no, I'm not going to do that. He said, yes, you are. I go out there, I start singing Shout to the Lord, and 20 years of worship, leading worship later. Listen to this now, because you need to catch this. I never preached for 20 years. Never one time. Never one time did I preach in 20 years. And all of a sudden, I get asked to preach. See, God won't leave you. He won't leave you. I promise you that. If you're discontent right now, you say, I'm just tired of this thing. I'm just sick of this thing. I'm sick of the... If you'll just keep serving God, if you'll just keep devoting yourself to the work of the ministry, he'll find something. He'll find that next move for you as long as you don't get more significant than you should in your mind, right? Nehemiah ask the king, and the king says this. It's so funny in the book of Nehemiah. It's so funny. I read it again today for like the fifth time in 3 days. It's so funny. He's having this conversation with himself before he goes to the king. Oh, dear God, I hope he lets me go. He's fretting. He's nervous. He goes to the king. The king says, yeah, dude, whatever you need. Whatever you need. You need this. You need this for the travels. You need that. Whatever you need, it's yours. Go take care of that thing. And the king, let me just tell you how well the king knew him. And this is how good you need to, the people that work with you need to know you. He goes into work for the king, and the king goes, your countenance is down. You okay? You all right? And Nehemiah begins to talk to him. King lets him go. My first point, Paulie, thank you. Hit it on the slide. Oh, Andrew's up there. Look at Andrew. I put him to work, too. See, I learned from my dad. Get to work. My first point tonight, you can't do something great until you leave the comfort of today to embrace God's action plan for tomorrow. That's a fancy way of saying this. Until you do something, until you do anything, God can't use you. He can't use. I mean, you got to get out there. sitting in the chair, coming in here to church every single week. It's listen, I want you here. I want you. If you sit there forever, it's okay. I love you and everything. But the best for your life, God's purpose for your life, where you're supposed to be, is to find the need and fill it, to find the hurt and feel it. And then all of a sudden, you take that first step into the action plan of God over your life. Step by step, all of a sudden, in the first steps are some of the hardest. The first steps. As time goes on, see, I don't know any different than to serve. I've been serving so long. You pull me out of the context of serving, I'll be lost. I'll be blind. I won't have a clue what to do. But in the first few steps, it might feel a little discomforting. But as time goes on, all of a sudden you begin to see God's action plan for your life begin to unfold. Number one, you got to do something. You have to do something. Are you with me tonight? I'm all off my notes here. Okay, you have to do something. He leaves the comfort zone. You know, activity night. Jessica, I was thinking about her. She left her comfort zone. First few nights she was at activity, she was so uncomfortable. Oh, my Lord, she was uncomfortable. She didn't know what to say, where to go, what to do. I'm not picking on her. I'm just telling you. Now she walks in there. She's like a boss. Go here. Go there. This way. That way. She tells me where to go. I don't even know where to go. But the first steps are the hardest. You know, I was thinking of the PJ and Jam. I was thinking, Amy, what is it? PJ and J. I'm thinking of peanut butter and jelly is where my mind went. PJ and Jam, right? Pajamas and Jesus. Help me, Jesus. I'm thinking of that on Wednesday nights. She's activating God's action plan for her life. She's teaching devotionals. Guys, she's perfect at that. It's beautiful. It's wonderful, but it's a step of faith. It's getting into God's action plan. And listen, a lot of people say these words. They just want to use me. They just want me to take care of that. No, let me help you with something. And I pray that you'll tell other people this. Tell young men and tell women, they don't want to use you. They want to see God's purpose in your life unfold. See, our mindsets are so backwards because the enemy gets in and he sows a seed. Oh, they just want you to change the light fixtures. They just want to use you. They don't want you to do anything significant. They just want to use you. That's the enemy. What the truth is, and let me just tell you, and I'll speak on behalf of all the leadership, we want to see God's action plan go boom in your life. Oh my Lord, look at her. Look at him. Look at God's action. Paul and Becky, you just saw them on the big screen. They're going to head up the Next Steps ministry. You know how that happened? Becky's standing out front and these people go walking by. And Becky stops the people. They're on their way to Main Street Pizza. And she invites them to church. We're having this conversation about evangelism and plugging people in and bringing people in. And I said, do you remember that night that Becky went and got that family from out front on the sidewalk? That's the kind of spirit that we need running this Next Step thing. We went and talked to them and boom, they're taking care of that ministry. That's how God works. Please, I'm begging you tonight. Take a step of faith. Do something. Do something so God can do the significant in and through you. Do you receive that tonight? And let me just say this. As the work goes down, the opposition will heat up. When you start doing a move of God, when you work towards improvement, and I know I don't even need to talk about this to some of you. When you start to make a change and take a step, all of a sudden, here comes all this opposition. I never felt this before. I never had this before. When I sat on the sidelines, I never felt all this opposition. When I just led worship and came back and sat down, I never had haters. No one ever bothered me. No one ever gossiped about me. But all of a sudden, I start to take a little bit of a step of faith. I start to do what I'm asked to do. I start to walk in the fullness of God, and all of a sudden I got all these haters. What? When the opposition starts, here's what you need to know. The presence of the storm doesn't mean the absence of God. The presence of the storm doesn't mean the absence of God. What that means is when the opposition comes, don't just think, oh, this isn't God's will for my life. I quit. I've seen that so many times. I just have opposition in this, Ryan. I don't think I'm called to it. I'm just going to quit. That's not the case. Trust me, that's not the case. Here's what's happening. When you're not doing anything, the enemy could care less about you. Don't do a thing, and the enemy won't give a hoot what you do day to day. He'll leave you all alone. You'll be out on ice all by yourself. But when you begin to step into God's will and God's plan and God's action for your life, all the demons in hell, I can actually show you in the New Testament where Satan will dispatch extra demons against you based on what you're doing and what you're not. You don't believe me. It's okay. If your enemy can't destroy you, I got 10 minutes. I got to hurry up. If your enemy can't destroy you, he'll distract you. He'll distract you. Listen to this in Nehemiah 6 and verses 1 and 2. The wall begins to go up. Listen to this. Sambalat, Tobiah, and Geshem and the rest of our enemies found out I had finished rebuilding the wall. Listen to this. There was no gaps remaining. Listen to this story. It's fantastic. Though we had not set up the doors in the gates yet. So they get the walls done, and they're waiting to get the gates done. And listen to this. So Sambalat and Geshem sent a message asking me to meet with them. If your enemy can't destroy you, he'll distract you. And my dad preached on this. They wanted to meet him at a place called Ono. Ono. How about that place? I know a few places in town like Ono. I know a few places right in this city like Ono. Never meet a person that has ill intention for you in a place you're not called to be. You know, it's interesting. Anytime I've ever had real resistance, the person always wants me to come to them. I'm not coming to them. You want me? You come to my office. You want me? You come over where I'm at. I'm not coming to Ono. Oh, come on over here. Come on, come over and see me. Come over and sit in my chair. Come over and sit in my living room. Come over and sit in my house. Oh, no, I'm not going there. I'm not going to Ono. There are Onos in your life, and you've got to ask the Holy Spirit, where is Ono for me? It might be, listen to me, it might be in a spot that is it appears to be great. Ono might appear to be great. Oh, they got coffee. They got donuts. They got some ribeyes over there. I'm going over there. This such and such wants to meet me over there. I'm going over there. Listen to me. Do not go meet with someone who has ill will for you on their territory. You know what I do with people who have ill will for me? I get was ask Aaron. I'll call Aaron and I'll say, such and such wants to meet with me. Come over here and let's meet with them together. I won't do it alone. Think about Nehemiah. He wasn't alone. He had his people with him. He had his friends with him. He had his family with him. If these folks wanted to come, they weren't doing nothing but causing trouble. They could have went right over to where he was and found him if they really wanted to see him. But he says, this is what he says. I'm not going. I'm not going to meet them. and he ignores them altogether. You don't have to fight them. You don't have to fight. You don't have to fight those people. You don't have to fight them. You don't have to argue with them. You don't have to yell at them. You just have to sometimes ignore them. Point number one, you can't do something great until you leave and embrace God's action plan for your life. In other words, get moving. Number two, say no to distraction. Listen, Nehemiah says no to distraction. They wanted to distract him for many reasons. I'm just going to give you a couple reasons, okay? Anytime that you make a move in the direction that God has for your life, and listen, there's people all over this place. You're looking for God's action plan for your life. Anytime you begin to embrace God's action plan for your life, distractions are going to pop up. There's some reasons. People get jealous. People do. I'm sorry to tell you, Christian people, they get, when you begin to do what God's called you to, they get jealous. They get envious. Here's another thing that happens. Sometimes what happens is you begin to make movement towards change, even if it's great change. You know, Nehemiah's out there. He's rebuilding the walls. He's making things happen, but he's also changing things. These people hate him for it. Hate him. You read Nehemiah, they hate him for it. They can't stand him for it. Don't go to Ono. Look at your neighbor and say, oh, no. Don't go. Don't go. Don't say maybe. Mean no. Because they're going to keep calling. They're going to keep texting. They're going to keep reaching out. Don't go. Just because you could doesn't mean you should. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. Four times they say this to him. Listen to this. Four times, the same exact message. Stop rebuilding the wall. Come to me. Come to my world, and let's talk. I'm not going to their world. Not going. The fifth time, here's what Sanballat says. He sends a servant, Nehemiah 6:5. The fifth time, his servant came with an open letter in his hand. And this is what it says. Listen to this. This is funny because this is so today. Listen, I hope I make this just simple enough that you can see it happens today. It might be a little more difficult to read, to break. This is a New Living Translation. It's still a little difficult at times. But this is what he says. He says, there is a rumor among all the surrounding nations, and Geshem tells me it is true. Such and such tells me it's true, that you and all the Jews are planning to rebel, and that is why you are building the wall. According to his reports, you plan to be their ruler or king. I love this. Rumors are carried by haters, spread by fools, and accepted by idiots. Can I say that in church? If you are always available to everyone, eventually, you'll have nothing to give. He says there's a rumor, another distraction. You'll never do big things if you're distracted by small-minded people. You have to cut people off sometimes. Listen to this, a little personal testimony. A couple weeks ago, I get attacked on Facebook. Dummy me, I don't pay attention to my own message, and I start going at them on Facebook. I do. You ever done it? I start going one for one for them. I get right down in the trench. I just want to tell you this because you're not the only one. I want you to know that I did it. It was me. And we start going one for one, and it was all based on a rumor. It was all based on a lie, a complete lie. Basically, what was said is that my dad kicked somebody out of the church. It's a total lie. And I start fighting with them, going one for one with them on Facebook. I should have never done it. I should have totally disregarded it. I should have totally ignored it. And I met with Bishop Chris Ball, and he said this. I was showing him the messages. He said this to me. Chris Ball says this: don't worry about what people say about you. Worry about what's true about you. Don't worry about the rumors. Worry about what's true. And this is how Nehemiah handles the rumor. In verse 8, it says this, I replied, there is no truth in any part of your story. You're making the whole thing up. Number 2, what is it? Say no to distractions. Number 3, instead of opposition discouraging you, let it encourage you. And this is for me in 2020. Instead of letting opposition discourage Nehemiah, he begets more determined. Instead of getting into his feelings, we talked about feelings last week. I got into my feelings on that Facebook post. I got mad. I got hot. You ever been there? Am I the only one? I start getting all into my feelings. And this is what Nehemiah does. He doesn't get into his feelings one single bit, not one little iota. He totally disregards the thing. He says, instead of it discouraging me, I'm going to let it encourage me. And listen to what the scripture says. Listen to this right now. Nehemiah 6:9. They were trying to intimidate us, imagining they could discourage us and stop the work. So I continued the work. Listen to these words. With even greater determination, he kept working, a tool in one hand and a weapon in the other hand. Are you with me tonight? You're doing something. Let me talk to the people who are serving. You are doing something fantastic for the kingdom of God. You are doing something awesome. Sarah, you did a fantastic job tonight. You're going to have opposition, though. You're going to have people say things, do things, give you looks. Don't get discouraged by the opposition. Get encouraged by the opposition because you're right where you're supposed to be. Let it push you. Let it encourage you. Don't let it discourage you. Keep moving forward. Instead of letting opposition discourage you, let it encourage you. And Nehemiah says, I'm going to work harder. And I just want all of you to know, you can bear witness to me on this. I'm just going to work harder. I'm sorry for getting off collared. I'm human. I'm sorry for reacting sometimes. I'm working on that. That's one of the biggest things I'm working on in 2020, just sometimes putting some things on ice for a bit and not getting into. I'm just preaching to me tonight. You're just listening to me preach to me tonight. I'm going to put it on ice, and I'm going to use opposition for encouragement. Here's my last point tonight. This is where I want to rest tonight. I felt the Holy Spirit so strong when I was finishing this up. Point 4, don't let what God does go to your head. You are blessed, not owed, and you're not entitled. When God chooses to use you, listen, this is the toughest thing. Kai, listen to me a second. This is the toughest thing in ministry, hardest thing. When God begins to use you in a miraculous way, I'm speaking for me. When God begins to really set his hand on you, when God begins to really anoint you in a profound way, there is something in the flesh of every human being that wants to say, man, I was so good. You know it's true. I did so good with that. I did so awesome with that. I did so wonderful with that. Listen to this scripture. Listen to Nehemiah, what happens. Verse 10. Later, I went to visit Shemaiah, and he said, Let us meet together inside the temple of God. Bolt down the door shut. Your enemies are coming to kill you tonight. This is what this guy begins to do. He begins to tell Nehemiah, dude, you're so good. You're so awesome, man. Let's go in the temple. Let's shut the doors down. You got the authority. You got the power. You're entitled to this thing. Are you with me tonight? He goes to Nehemiah. He's encouraging Nehemiah in his flesh. He's telling, oh, dude, you're so good. You're so awesome. You deserve this thing. You're wonderful. It's like saying this. Listen to this tonight. Because I felt so strongly in my spirit. It's like saying this. It's like when someone comes to you and says, Pastor Marty, you know, He don't want you to be used. You deserve this position. You deserve this thing. He doesn't want that for you. That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying to him. And Nehemiah says something that I think is so profound, so powerful. I have to stop one more second. I've been in church all my life. I've seen gifted, anointed, called people of God begin to get into a self-honoring, self-entitling, me, 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 I attitude. And people come along and encourage them in it. What? Don't encourage people in the me, 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 and the I. Encourage people in the him, him, him. Look what he's done. Look what he's doing in your life. Stay connected. Stay plugged in. Keep letting God, keep submitting to God's authority over your life. Keep submitting to God's people over your life. Get with your bishop more. Get with your pastor more. Get with your mentor more. And let him continue to groom you into what God has you to be. This guy comes to Nehemiah and says, dude, lock the door up. You're entitled to this thing. This is your deal. I hope I'm preaching to somebody tonight. He says, I'm your buddy. I have inside intel. Your enemies are coming tonight. This is what Nehemiah does, and this is what you should do, and this is what I should do. I'm preaching to me right now. Listen to this. In verse 11, but I replied, should someone in my position run from danger? Should someone in my position enter the temple to save his life? No, I will not do it. I realized that God had not spoken to him, but that he had uttered this prophecy against me because Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. They were hoping to intimidate me and make me sin, and they would be able to accuse and discredit me. What they were really saying is, you're owed this thing. You're entitled to this thing. This is, you've worked hard. This is your deal. You should have it. But what would have happened is, God would have taken his hand off that thing. Because when it becomes about you, it can't be about him. What Nehemiah was really saying back to them, he goes, dude, listen, I talked to God about this thing, and I just want you to know, I'm not taking any credit for this. God spoke to me to start it. He spoke to me in the middle when I began to do it. When you came against me, he gave me the strength to overcome. He gave me the power. He gave me the ability to overcome. I'm not taking any of the credit for this thing that God himself is doing. And this is what the Holy Spirit spoke to me. I started with a scripture. Nehemiah points the attention back to God, and he said, he did it. Why should I take advantage of God's help? Why should I take advantage of my authority? Why should I take advantage of my anointing when God himself was the one that did it? I choose to give him the glory. This is a prophetic statement, and I hope you hear this tonight. Remember what I'm about to say. God is going to begin to do something in this place that's amazing. I sense it in my heart so strong. Do you sense it? Just wave at me. I sense it in my spirit so strong. I sense a stirring in this place. I sense a moving of the Holy Spirit. I sense it in the youth. I sense it in the music. I sense it in the kids. I sense it in the ladies. I sense it across the board. But we're going to do something. We're going to be very careful to give him the glory for it. We're going to be very careful to stop in our worship service and just give God the praise. Just lift him up. Just begin to worship him and adore him. Because if it's left to you and I promise you it won't work out. If it's left to him, he'll take care of it all. Let me just give you one more New Testament scripture and I'm done. Will you take one more? Paul says it this way in 1 Corinthians 15:10. He says, listen to this, 1 Corinthians 15:10. But whatever I am now, I pray that you'll hear this. it is all because God poured out his special favor on me. And not without results, for I have worked harder than any of the other apostles. You got to work. You got to grind. We're going to grind it this year. We're going to work hard. We're going to move. But this is what he ends it with. Yet it was not I, but it was God working through me by his grace. If you agree with that, just stand tonight. Father, tonight we thankful for your house. Thankful for your people. Thankful for the working of your Holy Spirit. Thankful, Father, that you continue to speak in this place. Lord, we just give you all the praise. Me in particular tonight. Lord, I just say thank you for everything you've used me to do. I just pray, God, that you'd be glorified, you'd be honored. And Father, in Jesus' name, that your anointing would rest on this place, on this people, for all of our pastors, for all of our leaders, for all of our elders. Father, begin to use us in a miraculous way. And Father, we commit to you tonight. We'll give you all the praise. We'll give you all the glory for it. And we thank you for it tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to pray for one category of people. As you're dismissed tonight, you say, Ryan, and I felt this. Aaron, if you'll come. Chuck, if you'll come. I felt this tonight. When I begin to speak about serving, you're one of those people that the enemy has just gotten into your heart. He's gotten into your mind, and he's told you, don't serve. They just want to. Every time you go to serve, that thing comes up in you. It's keeping you from your God-given purpose. Trust me. I promise you, it's keeping you from it. I want you to come down and be prayed for tonight before you leave. I love you. God loves you. My parents love you. And I promise you, they'll be back Sunday. All right? God bless you. Have a great night.